I have a friend who was raised in a country, a situation so different than ours. He was raised in Albania during the period of pronounced and intense atheism. Christianity was suppressed. One would not be able to even so much as express it for fear of persecution. So he and his brother were painters, and as they were working on one particular house, they came upon a discovery, and it was kind of, I don't know, somehow trapped in the walls. And he pulled out, he was a young adult, he pulled out some pieces of paper, and in fact, they were the Gospels, which he had never read, had never been introduced to in his life, was completely new to him. And so he finds this Albanian translation of the Gospels hidden away in this house that they were working on. And he pulls them out. And if you can imagine being a young adult, and we take it for granted here, for the first time in his life, he read the Word of God. He read the Word of God. And so powerful and so transformative and so life-changing was that for him that he accepted the truth that he found contained in those passages. Ultimately, to get out of that country, he and a friend of his decided to swim for freedom, and they practiced and they worked very hard. He swam 7 hours to freedom. His friend didn't make it. Eventually emigrated to the United States, and I met him when we were in the seminary together. Because this path that the Word of God had taken him on unfolded in a priestly vocation, and he's ordained a priest. By the way, he's the pastor of St. Paul's Albanians up in Auburn Hills. Remarkable. I mean, if you ever run into him, it's an incredible story. How the Word of God, when he received it for the first time as a young adult, transformed his life, set him on a path, and now he's serving God's people as an ordained Catholic priest. The power of the word of Jesus, the power of the teaching of Jesus, the authority, the amazement, the astounding quality and reaction that that should have in all of us, sometimes doesn't have that effect or doesn't have that potency, not because of any shortcoming in the Word of God, but because maybe for us, we become so used to it that that power to amaze and astound becomes diluted. But when you meet somebody like Father Fred, it causes you to say, there is something there. There is a power that I need to tap into. So amazing and astounding is the teaching of Christ that these very words that I've been using are the words that we hear in the gospel passage today. Because the people detect in Jesus something so different. They say he's not like the scribes. He teaches with authority. And this is a new teaching. And they were astounded and amazed. The authority with which Jesus presented his teaching is an authority that we can tap into today. Now, when we hear that he taught with authority, we might think, what does that mean? You know, it could be like he just has conviction, he sounds really intelligent or something. I mean, if you think about the word authority, the Latin root is auctor or author. Author, authority. Author, authority. So when one is an authority, when one speaks with authority, it's because they have the status as if they were the author of that which they are proclaiming or presenting. I finished a book about a week ago, and I enjoyed it, and so I thought, well, I'm going to listen to an author interview. So I went on, you know, one of these sites, and I listened to an interview with the author, and it was really fascinating. Here's how he kind of conceived of these characters, and it's going to be, this is book two in a 6-part series. It gave a little indication of where it's going to go. I thought, this is great. You know, I'm hearing from the guy who actually wrote this, and he's talking about what went into it. So when Jesus speaks with authority, it's because he himself is understood to be that one who speaks with such authority, because he himself can be understood as the author, the divine author, of that with which, that which he is proclaiming to others. And in fact, you know, the miracles, and today we have an incredible miracle of Jesus. He sets free someone who's possessed by a demon. Elsewhere, when Jesus, for example, brings a healing, the healing, you might look at it, the physical healing, as the miracle, but Jesus oftentimes says, well, you know, they say, who are you to forgive sins? Only God alone can forgive sins. And he says, so that you know I have authority to forgive sins, I'm, you know, stand up and walk. And so his healing power is designed, of course, for that person's salvation, but also to show a deeper authority that he has because he's the Son of God. So what's new about this teaching that Jesus gives us? I mean, he takes, on the one hand, the law and extends it in a certain sense even further. What do I mean by that? When we read, for example, and he says, you know, the commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery, I say, don't even have lust. You know, even beyond the act of adultery, beyond that, there's something deeper. You know, it's not just for, it's forgive your enemies and love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, the idea that you extend the love and the mercy and the intention of the law even further than the letter of the law, on the one hand, is this incredible expansion of what we're called to do. That it's not just our behavior, but it's our attitudes and our thoughts and it's our relationship with God and our relationship with each other that's transformed. And so this is new, and this is groundbreaking, and this is loving, and this is challenging. So on the one hand, in his teaching, he extends, you know, the bar is raised higher. But the beauty is that at the same time, the mercy of God is extended even more widely, even further. And so when he comes and brings a gospel of repentance and forgiveness, that authority to forgive, we who may find ourselves unable or have a great challenge with fulfilling what we know God asks us to do. You know, St. Paul says, why is it I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I want to do? You know, that kind of tension that we all live in. The mercy of Jesus flows into all those crevices and cracks and wounds and sins and brings healing, peace, reconciliation. This is astounding. This is amazing. We haven't heard anything like this before. So what my friend encountered for the first time in those words was an introduction to Jesus in his very word. So how do we tap into the power of the teaching of Jesus today? How do we keep that alive in our hearts? Because if this really is the key to understanding everything, then the priority that the Word of God takes in our lives should exceed that of, you know, the TV shows we want to watch, the other distractions that may come our way, so that we allow the Word of God to soak into us. So, of course, the Bible contains the teachings that are life-giving for us. Pope Benedict, is very explicit about this, and Pope Francis has made allusions to this as well, that even within one's house, first of all, every family should own a Bible. You should have a Bible in your house. And further, to give it a place of dignity in the house, a stand set on a special table, so that it has a place of prominence. First of all, it's readily accessible, and it also communicates that the Word of God roots our family life and is the basis upon which we want to live our lives. In my own house, we did have one of those, it's kind of like those big old family Bibles, and it was set on a stand at the end of, you know, little hallway, just kind of little bungalow we had, but now I will tell you, the book itself was written in German, so I didn't read a lot of it, but I just thought it was really cool that we had this really neat looking Bible there. I'm mostly Irish, I have a little bit of German. But, you know, to have the Bible have a place of centrality in your house, and then and when it's there, I mean, you know, you might, during the course of the day, just, you know, you just sort of flip through it and you just find a passage, or it's just there. You know, it's not kind of tucked away. It's visible and it's accessible and it's given a place of dignity. By the way, the second book that I would recommend, you don't need to kind of have it in the same level of distinction, but would be the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Because we know that, according to what we hear in the letter to Timothy, the Church is the pillar and foundation of truth. And so Scripture and the tradition and that impartation of the Holy Spirit to the apostles and their successors is the guarantee of the truth that we believe in. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church just is a ready reference, and you know, it's systematically laid out so that you can tap into a section when you have a question. So that's another great book to make sure that you have in there. And so when we do this, when we open our hearts and we say, Jesus, you're at the center and your teaching is at the center, we try to find ways to have that permeate our lives. We're blessed here at Shrine to have Catholic schools that impart this to our children from the very youngest ages. Literally, I mean, just, you know, early childhood all the way through 12th grade. We're blessed here to have so many Bible studies. I mean, all you have to do is, you know, look at the Jumbotron before Mass and you just see the cascade of different Bible studies. By the way, new one coming. Father Kevin's going to start one on Monday afternoons in a couple weeks, so get ready for that. We have lots of opportunities for Bible studies just to be soaked and immersed in the Word of God. As a young adult, it was really kind of right around when I was getting ready to go to college that I just got in the habit of, and I started with Matthew, you know, the first gospel, in the order of the New Testament, and would read one chapter a night before going to bed. Just read one chapter a night. Just felt, you know, pretty easy to do, and of course we hear Scripture at Mass all the time, but I just sort of thought, you know, I just kind of want to keep in the steady stream. So I read through the New Testament a couple times, started through the Old Testament. Kind of, there's a different way to approach the Old Testament that might be more helpful with Bible studies and so on. But that's an easy way to begin allowing yourselves to be permeated with the Word of God, just to begin reading it and asking the Lord to reveal himself to you. And to pray and say, Lord, let this soak into me as if it's the first time I've ever encountered this. You know, my friend had, on the one hand, the deprivation of not having the faith imparted to him when he was young. But he had the revelation and the joy and the excitement and the anticipation and the fulfillment of coming into the Word of God as a young adult. With that freshness, with that enthusiasm that the Word of God evoked in him, it led him on a path of just giving himself completely to Jesus as a priest. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If your heart's been, if not hardened, maybe calloused, or found the Word of God routine, ask the Lord to open your hearts. If today you hear God's voice, harden not your hearts.